For the second time in 3 years, the San Francisco Giants are the World Series champions. This is episode 34 of 3U3D, where we will break down all the World Series action. But first, let me introduce my Roundtable Baseball associates once again for this week, starting off with Sad Angelo is Sad, Angelo Felicia over in Detroit.
Hey, guys, how's it going? I'm not too sad. Let's not put a damper on things to start it off.
All right. Well, maybe you're slightly less sad. Well, Jeremy's probably just angry. Jeremy is angry. Jeremy Dorn, representing the Los Angeles Dodgers.
I've just been eating bonbons and watching soap operas in the dark for the last 2 days. It's not a good life over here.
We all know you do that anyway. It's no different than before the Giants won the World Series. Representing the American League West, Brian Boynton.
Only 150-something days till opening day.
And representing the National League Central, KP Kerpeter.
And gold gloveless once again.
And I am Brian Mapes, your host, and let's start it off right there. We alluded to it. The San Francisco Giants win the World Series. They become the first team since the New York Yankees from 98 to 2000 to win two World Series in a three-year span. Pablo Sandoval wins the MVP, Kung Fu Panda, that huge game one where he had three home runs, joining the likes of Babe Ruth, Reggie Jackson, Albert Pujols, Pablo Sandoval. That's it. That's the list of players who have had three home runs in one World Series game. He is the World Series MVP, hitting 500 and having three home runs in a World Series, becomes the first player who is not a Yankee to accomplish that feat. The other players that have done that, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and Hideki Matsui. Let's get into it. Angelo, got to start it off with you. It was your team that got swept. What went wrong, and what does Detroit need to do to rectify this? Is it all really just the bullpen?
Well, first of all, my prediction couldn't have been any more wrong. I failed to make good on my promise that Verlander would get home field advantage back for the Tigers, so that wasn't off to a good start. What we need to do is a few things, actually, and we'll get into a few things a little later on in the podcast about some signings, but we really need to re-up our bullpen. We're going to need a closer. I wouldn't mind another arm in the bullpen just to have a, not necessarily a setup guy, but just another arm, preferably a lefty. We're going to need a corner outfielder, someone who that can hit. I don't need to hit for a ton of power, but someone that's going to be able to hit and just basically get on base, the old Billy Beane theory, but with some speed too. And then ideally, depending on what we do with Anibal Sanchez, we're going to need like a fourth and or a fifth starter based off that too. There's talks that we might not keep Rick Porcello, but odds are Drew Smyly will be in the rotation next year, which is good because I don't want five righties. So we're going to need that lefty and Drew. Other than that, I think we'll be pretty solid. We get Victor Martinez back next year, so he'll be our DH, and I like where everything's headed going into next year.
Detroit is the preseason favorite to win the World Series at 6-1, according to the Las Vegas sportsbook. So they still have a great team, great chances at getting back to the World Series in 2013. Going to go over to you, KP. How shocked were you at the dominance that the Giants had in the World Series?
Oh, I don't know. Pretty shocked. I mean, as the whole country, the thing that was glaring to me was before even game one started, they did a SportsCenter poll or whatever. Who do you think's going to win the World Series? And four states picked the Giants to win, and they picked the Giants to win in 6 and 7. Just those four states. And everywhere else had the Tigers. And, I mean, I don't even think the whole country thought the Giants were going to come out that strong based on that. And just to see them come out and shut down the Detroit Tigers, I mean, Prince Fielder going 1-for-12 or whatever he did in the whole series. And I mean, their whole team batted, what, 160 or something like that. It was ridiculous. The pitchers for the Giants were out of control.
Brian, over to you. What were your thoughts on the World Series? Going to gear it one way here. We've seen it now twice with Detroit where they've had long layoffs, 2006 and now 2012, end up losing both World Series in 9 games total. Do you think that the long layoffs really affect teams heading into the World Series and your other World Series thoughts?
Actually, I do think that the long layover does affect the team. I mean, you can only simulate a game so many times. You can only play inter-squad games so many times. You can't really get a real-life game experience doing it. You don't have the crowd noise. You don't have opposing pitchers. You don't have the adrenaline, the emotions of a World Series game when you do that. If any of you play high school football, you know that the scrimmage against your own team is never the same as a game. So that, I think, has a lot to do with it because you don't get the different environment and stuff. So, and plus, you're playing a little rust. You're only playing, you know, when you do one of those inter-squad games, you play, what, 4 or 5 innings, just keep the rust off. You don't play a full game, so you're not as amped for the game as the other team did who played the 2 nights before that who were still had the adrenaline going. So I think that has a lot to do with it. You remember, like I mentioned last week, I know I was wrong when I said the Tigers had 11 days off or whatever. That was from game one. But, 2007 with Colorado, they just ran through everybody in the playoffs. And then they got to the World Series and got swept. They didn't even put up a fight. Now, this one was a little different. I thought the Tigers would be able to put up some sort of a fight. I mean, they had a dominant offense. They had Justin Verlander game one. I thought they would take game one, knowing they wouldn't see Matt Cain until game four. But I think Bochy did a great job with that, saving his best two pitchers for arguably the toughest two games they were going to face, which would be in an American League park in which Detroit would get to utilize their DH. So I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. I guess it was just in the cards for the Giants game this year. You can't really knock them. Detroit, I mean, had a great season, but just fell short at the end.
Jeremy, over to you. Your bitter rival wins their second World Series in 3 years. I know you've been curled up in the fetal position, but what are your thoughts on what the Giants are doing right to win these World Series?
Yeah, you know, this one was much, much more painful because in 2010 I was still in college up in Washington State, so I didn't have to, you know, be in San Francisco when it happened, but I'll get through it again. They really are, to be honest, the model, you know, they have the right model for how to build a championship team. We all have heard the mantra over and over again that pitching and defense wins championships. And, you know, they didn't win any gold gloves or anything. We'll talk about that later. But they, you know, constantly have one of the best pitching rotations in baseball, strong bullpen. They have guys that make plays on defense, even if they're not the best at their positions. They are, you know, among the better players. And the guys that they have on offense, you know, there's no real, I guess, elite hitter. I mean, Buster Posey, yes, but everyone else is just either emerging now or kind of an above average guy. But the thing with them is they just play the game right as far as, you know, moving the runner, taking the extra base, executing bunts, all these very fundamental things that, you know, you learn growing up playing, and their players just seem to be executing it all better than most other teams. And I think that's what has proven 2 out of the last 3 years to, you know, win them the tight games and eventually get them to the playoffs where they can, you know, take those breaks and those smart plays to their advantage and take it all the way.
Some controversy, though, still in the Giants World Series championship. Melky Cabrera suspended 50 games during the season for PEDs, did not play in the playoffs, but still got the Giants home field advantage in the World Series by being the All-Star Game MVP. He hit over 340. He hit over 340, I know that much, and helped that team out during the regular season. I'm going to open it up to everybody. Does Melky Cabrera deserve a World Series ring, or should he exclude himself from this as well, like he did the batting title, starting off with KP?
Oh, that's such a touchy question. I don't think that he deserves one, no. I know that he took them and technically, yeah, he got the world. I mean, he got the home field advantage or helped get the home field advantage with a big hit. I mean, I'll have you know that Ryan Braun also got a big hit in that game. But
and the Giants thank Ryan Braun.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a touchy subject. I mean, they did sit him off of the playoff team. He kind of disbanded the whole team. I mean, from hearing how he parted, I don't even know that I don't even think they'd even consider giving him one.
Angela, over to you. Does Melky Cabrera deserve a World Series ring?
No, I don't think so. My thing is it's what kind of example would they set if they gave him one? That cheating's okay, that no matter what, that you can still get a ring afterwards? I mean, if they give him a ring and that's it, what's done is done, then, I mean, some teams might go out, sign a few guys, pump steroid up, they get a huge lead in their division, they get suspended for 50 games, and then they can sit in that lead while those players are gone. I mean, and then expect to use it. I don't know. I just think that, I think no ring. In fact, I'm cool if the Giants don't even sign him back.
Jeremy, over to you. What are your thoughts on Melky Cabrera getting a World Series ring for the Giants title?
Yeah, by the sound of it, when it happened, he kind of he disappointed not only fans and, you know, baseball fans in general, but his teammates were pretty let down. They were shocked and didn't really take kindly to how he left the team. So I don't think they'd be in favor of it necessarily. I'd be very surprised if the Giants did give him a ring. I don't think they should. And I can tell you in talking to a few Giants fans here and there on Twitter, I've asked them that question directly just because I'm curious to know what Giants fans think about it. And they're still pretty upset about what happened with Melky. So I think that the fans both don't want him re-signed, and they definitely don't want to see him get a ring.
Brian, over to you. What are you? Did I already ask Brian his thoughts?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. Brain is toast. Brian, over to you. Do you believe Melky Cabrera should get a World Series ring?
I'm going to have to agree with everybody else. I mean, like everybody said, it is the Giants' choice to give him one. Does he deserve one? No. Did he help the team get there? Yes. I mean, like Angela said, if you give him one, do you promote cheating? And if they do give him one, the best thing he can possibly do, there's two things he can do. He can either turn it down and say, thanks, I don't feel I deserve this, or he can take the ring and then auction it off for charity. That would be something that would be beneficial for everybody. Giants save face by giving him one. He saves face by giving it away. It's a win-win for everybody, and that's the way I think he should handle it.
I'm still torn on this, but I think that he should get a ring. I mean, there has to be some point at this season where he helped that team while not on steroids. And I think that for that, he's going to get a ring. He was part of the team. Will he accept it? I don't know. Will the players vote him a playoff share? I don't think so. But, I mean, I think he's lost enough. He'll lose enough in free agency. How many times is he going to have a chance to get a World Series ring? I'd be okay if he got one. I wouldn't be incredibly up in arms about it, I think. Joining 3U3D now is the 2012 Ultimate Fan Cave Dweller. She's just not any Fan Cave Dweller. She is the ultimate one. She is San Francisco Giants superfan Ashley Chavez. Ashley, the Giants win the World Series on Sunday. You win the Fan Cave on the same day. Is it the best day of your life?
Someone tweeted at me. Like, I think yesterday, I forget when it was. Maybe it was the actual day, maybe it was Sunday. Saying, like, forget your wedding day. Forget the day of your firstborn. Nothing's going to compare to this day. Am I right? And he could not be more right. It is hands down the best day of my life. I really don't see anything else being better than this the rest of my life. So I guess it's all downhill from here.
Right. We're secretly going to record that and save that and play that for your kids one day.
You know what? They'll understand.
Which meant more to you, winning the Fan Cave or the Giants winning the World Series?
Oh, 100% Giants winning the World Series. Fan cave was icing on the top. Honestly, like, being the ultimate cave dweller is an absolute honor, but winning was going to the World Series. Winning is seeing the Giants in the World Series and seeing them play in the World Series and everything that the fan cave has done for us. So really, I hate to be like that cliche, like sappy person, but the three of us did really win in my eyes because what we got to experience during the World Series is just absolutely incredible and really throughout the entire year. So there was no losing. It was just someone got the title, which is awesome. But winning the World Series is, gosh, I couldn't have asked for a better thing ever on the planet.
Angelo, over to you.
Oh, Ashley, so what do you think was better, this year's Giants team or the 2010 Giants team?
That's a great question. They're both very different and very similar. I like this team more because I feel like not everyone was, well, especially, for instance, Tim Lincecum. So not everyone was on their game like they usually are as expected, and then they pulled through some way or another for the team. Like, Timmy came to the bullpen. He was willing to go to the bullpen. He didn't have to do that, but he was like, you know what? If that helps this team, I'm going to do it. The day that Bogey pitched and he was in the bullpen and his little press conference, well, he didn't have a press conference, but his interview after the game, all he cared about was Vogie and how well Vogie did. That is absolutely incredible. The amount of love that this team has for each other, the Hunter Pence sunflower seed showers, the pulling for Zito, the fact that my park is screaming, Zito, Zito. I mean, what the heck is going on with that? All these things are so unexpected, and a lot of things were taught during the season, so I really love this group of guys so much. Nothing against 2010, because that group was so great. But I think this team now is a younger team, and we can grow with them, as opposed to some people just had good career years, and that's why we won. So that's another reason, too.
Jeremy.
Oh, all right. Hey, Ashley, thanks for coming on, and congrats on everything.
Thank you.
I just had a couple quick questions.
Don't forget, Jeremy's bitter the Giants won. Don't let him be all
nice. I didn't even hear that it was Jeremy right now. I didn't know what was going on. I'm sorry, Jeremy.
It's okay. No, you're right, man. I'm a little bitter. I won't deny it. But, that's the nature of the rivalry. It would go both ways.
You can be bitter, but
I would be happy if you were happy for me. I need you to be mad, just like I would be mad likewise. We need to hate each other. That's part of this thing.
I'll be honest. I'm very unhappy that they won, but, try to be polite. Be nice.
And
at least for the podcast.
Yeah.
All right, well, I just got a couple quick questions about your team, which I hate, by the way. Is that better, Mips? So, first of all, I mean, this is, in my mind at least, whatever team wins the World Series, as much as I hate to say it, the Giants are going to be the defending champs next year, and in my mind that makes them the team to beat all season long. What do you think they've got to do in the offseason or just next season in general to get back to the same place and have a chance to repeat next year?
The offense needs to stay the same. They need to continue feeding off each other and sparking each other. But more importantly, two things, actually. Timmy needs to get back. We need to figure out what's going on with him and try to completely solve that problem. He's not going to be bullpen guy, and even Bochy said the same thing. He's starting next year. So we have to figure out what's officially going on with him. Hopefully we can, because obviously we can't do it all year. And then also we have to figure out our bullpen situation. If we're going to have Brian Wilson be the closer, are we going to have Romo be the closer? I mean, Romo's been fitting the parts so well. He has the personality, he has the craziness, and he has the wicked cutter. So we'll see what goes on with the bullpen. That should be very interesting. But I think it comes down to Timmy and Brian Wilson.
Definitely, definitely. And one last thing here, I just wanted to throw this idea out. I mean, I know that you everyone's seen the rumors. They were swirling even before the season ended about San Francisco possibly being a player for Josh Hamilton. And I know that they've been built around kind of building from within, small ball guys that, just play technically sound baseball. So I was wondering what your thoughts are on whether the Giants will make a play at Hamilton, and if they did, if you would like that.
I wouldn't like it. Nothing against Hamilton. I mean, obviously he's an astounding player. He's an amazing hitter. But Hamilton does come with a little bit. I mean, he does have a lot of, I won't even call them all injuries. There's a lot of, reasons why he leaves games and is not able to play for a couple days and this and that. He's not very consistent when it comes to being able to play every day. I mean, everything else is – he is phenomenal, of course. Don't get me wrong. But he does get injured a little bit, and then he always has those days where he can't play for the next week because he's trying to quit chewing tobacco and stuff like that, which is kind of wacky. Also – he does well in ballparks like Arlington and stuff like that, and I think he will do well in an American League team so he can play DH for the future. He's not going to do so well in my ginormous ballpark, and he's not going to do so well in the National League. So I think he needs to stay American League in a smaller ballpark. Also, I don't think we're going to spend that much money for him, whatever he requires. It's obviously going to be insane. So I think that we're going to focus on keeping our guys still, keeping Buster around or pitching staff around and keeping the whole non-superstar kind of team that we have now, which I love. I mean, don't get me wrong, Buster is a superstar and Timmy's a superstar, but there's a difference between farm-raised superstars as opposed to buying superstars. So I think we like our team right now and the flow and the brotherhood that we have, and I think getting someone that big and someone who might be a clubhouse kind of distraction, I don't want to say cancer, but like clubhouse distraction, might be worse for our team. So I say no, don't think we should do it, and I also don't think we're going to make an attempt at it.
All right, Brian, over to you.
All right, Ash, you could have just said he comes with a lot of baggage. I mean, that's good word use. But,
I mean, I don't want to just say that. No, I don't want to get him because he's going to be expensive and he has baggage. Next question.
There you go, because I've seen him for 5 years, and he does come with a lot of baggage.
He does.
All right. So you have to exclude watching the World Series and winning the Fan Cave. What was your favorite Fan Cave experience?
Favorite Fan Cave experience? Oh, God, there's so many. My favorite would have to be at All-Star when we got to go to Media Day because we got to talk with everyone. Panda remembered me from when he came in earlier, which was so wacky. And the whole time we were talking about how hot it is in Kansas City and how it's miserable and this and that, whatever, and it was just really cool. And then I got to finally talk to Buster Posey, which has been a challenge because in spring training when we got to go for the 2 week or 2 day audition, I got to go to Scottsdale and I was not allowed to talk to any of the ball players. And all I wanted to do was talk to Buster and ask him how things are going. It's so nice to see him play again, this and that, whatever. But wasn't allowed to. Anyways, come time for All-Star. And I get to talk to Buster, and so I was introduced to him. And before I say, like, oh, hi, nice to meet you or everything, he's like, no, I know who you are. I've seen you on TV a couple times. And that's when a strange reality hit. Like, what is going on in my life right now? How in the world are you telling me that you know who I am and that you see me on TV when I know, like, everything about you? And this is absolutely insane. So that was probably my favorite moment on top of a million others, but that was just is so wacky. So wacky.
All right. I've got a few questions for you.
Okay.
One being, what are your plans now? Now that you've conquered the entire baseball world, winning a World Series, winning the Fan Cave, what are your plans?
My plans now are to come back to reality in a nice way. I don't want to just throw myself straight in there, but I'm going to have to. Try to find a job in the sports world, hopefully. Try to find a place to live, more likely New York City. So try to find an apartment. All this boring stuff, you know, adult stuff. That's my plan right now.
All right. Any teams that you want to work for? The Giants, is that up there? Or are you going to stick to do more MLB general stuff?
I would love to do MLB general stuff right now just because I feel like that's more up my alley. But, oh, my God, if the Giants offered me a job, I'd take that in a heartbeat. So right. Can't turn them down.
And if you have been watching TV at all, you obviously know the 2013 is coming back.
Yes.
Are there any tips for the MLB Fan Cave hopefuls for 2013 that you have?
Yes. So definitely stay true to yourself. It's going to be so corny. I'm sorry, but it's so true. Stay true to yourself because if you anything, MLB is going to know they're looking for a specific person, and if you're the right person for the job, they're going to find that right away. If you are being fake or anything like that, just trying to impress them or trying to be funny when maybe that's not more your thing, this and that, whatever, they're going to know right away and they're just going to dismiss you instantly. So definitely be yourself and definitely don't deny your fandom, because that was one thing I struggled with. I didn't know if I was a big enough fan for this. I didn't know if I knew enough about baseball. But don't deny yourself, because if you're a true fan, it's going to show through, and that's what they're looking for. If you're a funny person, yes, make a funny video. If you're not as funny and you're just really passionate about the game, then make a video that shows that you're very passionate about the game. So basically, apply and try it. First of all, don't think that you're not going to make it, because that's what I thought, and then I did. And be true to yourself and be a real fan.
Nice.
Yes.
All right. I'm throwing over to Angelo.
All right. Ashley, one more question for you. Yes. How did you like Detroit? Like as far as the ballpark goes, and is any experience really you want to share?
So the hotel bar is awesome that we say that. Obviously, you know, you were there. Like, it was just so much fun to be there, and with all the, like, crazy people that were there, like all the old ball players and stuff like that. They were making the times a lot of fun. The ballpark, your ballpark is absolutely gorgeous. I loved all the Tigers everywhere. That was so great. I thought there was only, like, Tigers in the front, big old Tiger statues, whatever. No, it's not true. They're all over the place, so the outside is beautiful. Inside is amazing as well. I didn't really get to see that much Detroit. Honestly, I went from the hotel to the ballpark, like, every day. But yesterday, we actually did go out, and we went to some really cool bar downtown, which was awesome. We had a lot of fun there, and then we ate at some brewery. That was a lot of fun. So the places I've seen, I've loved. I wish I could have seen more. I wish I could have gone to the Motown Museum, because everyone was telling me go there, but I didn't get a chance to. Maybe next time. It is way cold in the D, I will say that. It is, but I was slightly prepared for it. It's just, you can't be outside for too long, otherwise you start losing feeling in your toes. But other than that, I loved it.
Good deal. Good deal.
All right. I just thought of this. Analyze. The first time Ashley met Pablo Sandoval, the next game he went 2-for-5. The second time she met Pablo Sandoval, he has that huge triple in the All-Star game. The third time she meets Pablo Sandoval, he has a 3-home-run game in Game 1 of the World Series. Do you give Pablo Sandoval special powers?
Maybe I do. If I run into him tomorrow, I'm going to tell him that. Like, listen, Panda, you need to hire me as your personal assistant so I can just be around you all times, maybe give you advice, give you, like, I don't know, a pat on the back or something, and give you special powers. So every game, you're just phenomenal.
All right, we'll get you out on this. Going to make you blush a little bit, make you nervous. As being the ultimate cave dweller, you win $10,000, you get the golden ticket where you can go to any game in any stadium with a guest for the entire 2013 season. Plus, you got a PS3 with every baseball game ever. $500 from Majestic, $500 from 47 Brand, all the hats from all 30 teams, Budweiser gifts, $250 from MasterCard, $150 from Taco Bell, and a year's supply of Head & Shoulders shampoo. I will get you out on this. How often do you plan on washing your hair in the next year?
I was thinking about giving those as stocking stuffers for Christmas. You guys need shampoo? Don't worry, I got that. No, it's pretty amazing. This whole time I thought the prize would just be the title, just because we were all going to the World Series, and that ultimately is the prize, like I said earlier. So I figured, we're going to get a title, cool. When they started naming off prizes and the prizes that they did name, I was absolutely shocked. I could not believe it. It rules so hard. So, yeah, especially the Head and Shoulders, that's going to be so legit, because I'm not going to have to buy shampoo forever.
And we didn't even mention the awesome Fan Cave Dweller trophies, a bobblehead of yourself. How
Can
shocked
you?
Were you when you saw that?
I could not. Well, first of all, Will Clark is revealing it to me, so I was just kind of in a dreamland. But when I saw the bobblehead and the details of it, I mean, my bobblehead has pink in its hair. It's so great. I don't know. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's so fantastic. That's definitely the best part of the whole prize. I can't wait to put that in, like, my house somewhere, figure it out. People are going to think I'm an egomaniac because I have my own bobblehead, but it's okay. It's worth it.
All right, there she is, Ashley Chavez, the ultimate Fan Cave Dweller for the 2012 season. the ultimate San Francisco Giants fan as well. She'll be at the parade on Halloween celebrating the team. Make sure you keep an eye out for her in the parade coverage. Follow her on Twitter. It's at Smashley Chavez. Ashley, thanks for joining 3D. Good luck to everything in the future. Hope you get out to the World Baseball Classic in San Francisco in March.
Oh, I'm definitely doing that. No matter what, I'm going to be out for that.
Thanks again to Ashley Chavez for joining us on 3U3D. And a special congratulations once again to the San Francisco Giants on winning the World Series. Guys, one quick question. We just had Ashley on. Giants pitcher Matt Cain, this is his 2012 season, signed a $127 million extension, pitched a perfect game, became the sixth Giants pitcher to start the All-Star game, won Game 5 of the National League Division Series, won Game 7 of the National League Championship Series, and started the title-clinching Game 4 of the World Series. Ashley had her favorite team win the title and won the Major League Baseball Fan Cave. Who's having the better season for the San Francisco Giants, Matt Cain or Ashley Chavez? We'll start it off with Angelo. Quick one-word answers.
Matt Cain.
KP.
It's a tie. No. I think Ashley's having a sweet year.
Brian?
Cain's has been done for. Ashley's unprecedented. Ashley.
Ashley is unprecedented. Jeremy, over to you. Who do you think's having the better year? I know you don't like anything Giants. We've established that. Who's having the better year, Matt Cain or Ashley Chavez?
I don't like the Giants, but I do like money. So, sorry, Ashley, giving it to Matt Cain here.
Yeah, I'm going to lean Matt Cain. I love Ashley to death, but Matt Cain's having the better year. $127 million plus a ring plus a perfect game. Though Ashley does have her sweet perfect Cain all-star jersey. So, Ashley, a very great year. Matt Cain, a spectacular year. Moving on from World Series talk now, we are going to break down players that have had their options picked up or declined by teams in each division. And we're going to start it off in the National League Central options with KP.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's pretty short today because we have zero options picked up or declined.
Good analysis. That's why we started off of
you. All teams are settled.
Move things along quickly. Brian, over to you. What's been going on in the American League West option-wise?
Well, Oakland's been relatively busy. They obviously picked up Grant Balfour's option. They dropped Stephen Drew, which is kind of a surprise to me. No, not really. But they outrighted Dallas Braden to the minors. He elected free agency. Joey Devine was also outrighted to the minors. He elected free agency. And then the Texas Rangers declined Yoshiori Tatsuyama's, the reliever's option, and they declined Scott Feldman, who was their kind of thought starter, long relief guy. And the Angels and Mariners have done nothing of late.
Athletics fans, if you love Stephen Drew, don't worry. He still might be able to come back as a free agent. There are rumors that he will be coming back as a free agent. Going to go over to the National League East, one of my divisions. Break it down. Braves, they're picking everybody back up. Brian McCann, his option picked up $12 million for next season despite the injury. They look like they will try and re-sign David Ross as a free agent. He wants to come back to the Braves so that catching tandem will still be around in Atlanta next season. They also pick up the options on pitchers Paul Mahalab, who they picked up in the trade from the Chicago Cubs, and Tim Hudson, the longest tenured Brave now with Chipper Jones gone, will be back in 2013. The Phillies, they declined the options on Placido Polanco, the third baseman, and Ty Wigginton. They will become free agents, but they pick up the options on Jose Contreras, who is trying to come back from injury once again, and Carlos Ruiz, the all-star, picked up for just $5 million for next season. He was absolutely fantastic. And big name options for the Mets picked up, obviously, R.A. Dickey, the possible NL Cy Young Award winner, and the team leader, David Wright, will be back in 2013 for the New York Mets. Angelo, over to you. Who's been picked up and dropped option-wise in the American League Central?
Well, we'll start with my team, the Detroit Tigers. We picked up a $3.5 million option on Octavio Dotel, and we picked up a $6 million option on Chyna Peralta. Might be six and a half. We also re-signed Jim Leland to a one-year deal. I think we're going to go year by year on this one, thinking if he retires or if he wants to retire. We declined options on – or Dombrowski announced that we're not going to pick up the options of Delman Young or Jose Valverde, thank God. And then we've got Minnesota dropped the option on Baker, and the Chicago White Sox declined Kevin Youkilis' $13 million option and Brett Myers' $10 million option, but they re-signed three-time All-Star Jake Peavy to a two-year $29 million contract with an option for 2015.
Jeremy, over to you. Break down the NL West options for us.
Well, it's all Dodger Blue right now. Let's see. They declined three guys right off the bat. They declined Juan Rivera's $4 million option. Declined Todd Coffey's $2.5 million option. Not sure why he was going to be paid that much anyway. And Matt Treanor was going to make just under $1 million next year to be the backup catcher to AJ Ellis, and he was declined as well. So they bought up those three guys. They did re-sign Brandon League for 3 years, $22.5 million. And Ned Colletti said today that he did re-sign League with the idea that he will be the closer. So it sounds like Kenley Jansen, once he recovers from his surgery, will be the setup man again in L.A.
All right, and finally, in the American League East, all the options are from the pinstripe New York Yankees, Robinson Cano's option, and Curtis Granderson, both picked up. But the big news, obviously, option-wise, out of the Bronx, David Aardsma will be back in the bullpen next season. That is a huge news for them. Okay, I lied. I tried there. I tried to keep a straight face. Sorry. But Aardsma, he'll be there. Maybe Rivera comes back. Robertson, Boone Logan, Rafael Soriano. Solid bullpen, but the other two guys, bigger names, Robinson Cano, Curtis Granderson, obviously will be back in pinstripes for 2013. That'll do it for the option talk. Got to get back to the managerial talk. We forgot to talk about it on the last podcast. I'm deeply sorry, Rockies fans. Please don't stop sending me the hate tweets and the hate email that I forgot to talk about them. Jim Tracy resigns as manager of the Colorado Rockies, effective immediately. They are already looking for a new manager, and it might be Matt Williams, a former San Francisco Giant. A lot of San Francisco Giants talk on this show. He is also, though, interviewing for the Toronto Blue Jays job after they moved on, sending John Farrell on his way to Boston. Gonna move over to our last segment on this week's podcast, and just about 2-3 hours ago, the Gold Glove Awards were announced on ESPN2. Gonna break it down for you. Pitcher, Gold Gloves, American League, Jake Peavy and Jeremy Hellickson, they tie. Can't remember the last time I saw a tie for a Gold Glove. In the National League, Mark Burley changes leagues, keeps his Gold Glove streak alive, though. At catcher, Matt Wieters and Yadier Molina take home the gold. First base, Mark Teixeira once again reigns supreme, getting it back, his title from Adrian Gonzalez and Adam LaRoche in the National League. At second base, obvious calls, Robinson Cano and Darwin Barney, who tied the record for most consecutive games at second base without committing an error. At third base, Adrian Beltre, one of the top defensive third baseman in the game. Obviously, he won a Gold Glove. And Chase Headley of the San Diego Padres. At shortstop, J.J. Hardy of the Baltimore Orioles and Jimmy Rollins of the Philadelphia Phillies. Left field, Alex Gordon picks up his second straight Gold Glove. He is probably the best defensive left fielder in the game right now in the National League. Carlos Gonzalez takes the award. Center field, the big upset. Adam Jones of the Baltimore Orioles wins it over Mike Trout. Andrew McCutchen takes the Gold Glove in the National League. The Baltimore Orioles lead all teams with 3 Gold Gloves total. And finally, in right field, our good friend Ben Christensen always says, don't run on Reddick. He proved it, takes home the Gold Glove in right field in his first season with the Oakland Athletics. And Jason Hayward takes his 2nd Gold Glove for my Atlanta Braves. You guys, we've heard all the awards now. Who do you think got snubbed from winning a Gold Glove? It is our Gold Glove gripes. We'll start it off with Jeremy.
Well, you'll like mine, Mapes. National League center field, no doubt McCutchen is a stellar defender. But, you know, he was up against your boy Michael Bourne. And I was, you know, even though I picked McCutchen in the blog to win, that was based on, you know, thinking he would get the popular vote from the managers and coaches. But I think that Michael Bourne absolutely deserved to win. I mean, KP, I know you don't believe in the imaginary stats, quote-unquote, but you want to talk about defensive war, you know, ultimate zone rating, defensive runs saved, all these stuff that take a lot of science-y, math-y stuff into account to figure out, you know, the most elite defenders in baseball. Well, zone rating and defensive runs saved, basically how many runs Bourne prevented this year? First in both, and it wasn't very close. You know, he was ahead of even Mike Trout, who robbed a home run every single game, it seemed, and defensive war second only in the majors to Darwin Barney. So, you know, in my mind, Michael Bourne was the clear choice for National League center field, but, you know, go get him next year, huh?
All right, and I've got to get this out of the way. This is my Gold Glove gripe, and I alluded to it when I was reading them off. How does Mike Trout, look, I can't even say his name, I'm so upset. How does Mike Trout not get the Gold Glove in center field for the American League? Nothing against Adam Jones, but Mike Trout did everything. He was playing left field. He was playing center field for the Angels. That never seemed to commit an error. Always did the right things in the field, which is incredible for a rookie. Plus, he had 4 home run saving catches during the season. That was the most in the league. Adam Jones didn't even have the best defensive play in his own center field. It was Mike Trout. Mike Trout had the best defensive play in Camden Yards all season. And Adam Jones gets the award. I don't understand it. I know I'm a Mike Trout homer. I think he's the MVP. We all know he's the Rookie of the Year, but he should have won the Gold Glove too. I'm just so angry. I'm sending it over to Angelo now for his Gold Glove gripe.
Well, just to touch on that, because he didn't win the Gold Glove, I kind of think he's all but out for MVP now. That's just me, though. That's just me. I'm just saying.
Just gonna bring up old. Let's not fight again.
My Gold Glove gripe is going to be Josh Reddick. I don't see why this man won the right field Gold Glove. I think maybe just because there was no other really good right fielders this year. I know Jeff Francoeur had another killer year, but I mean, I watched this guy play in the ALDS and I was just not impressed. I mean, he caught everything, but what you're supposed to do as an outfielder. I know he tied for 2nd for outfield assists, so I guess he can take that. Also, I'm a little disappointed overall with the defensive approach this year with the Gold Glove. Usually there's a little offense mixed in as to maybe why there were some other snubs like Mike Trout. There you go.
Interesting that right field, it doesn't seem it's more about fielding. Right field seems like the guy with the best arm ends up winning, and that's why I think Reddick ended up winning over Jeff Francoeur this year. KP, over to you. Who is your Gold Glove gripe?
My Gold Glove gripe would be taking it back to the National League in the left field position and Carlos Gonzalez beating out Alfonso Soriano. Are you kidding me? Soriano not only played in 21 more games, he played in over 100 more, or no, yeah, 14 more games. He played in over 60 more innings, had less errors, I mean, had one error all season, had more assists than Carlos Gonzalez, had more putouts than Carlos Gonzalez. His fielding percentage was 996. Yeah, so Soriano wasn't even a finalist. I mean, it's ridiculous. The only stat that would be glaringly awful for him was his complete games where he only had 98 of his 145 started. That's it. But he had more innings still than Carlos Gonzalez. So, I don't know what they're doing back there, giving out gold gloves like they're candy.
Brian, over to you. Last one. Who is your gripe that got a gold glove this season?
Well, mine isn't a single player. It's more the whole establishment of the gold glove. I think it is the most pointless award because it is supposed to strictly be a defensive award. Offensive numbers are not supposed to be put into it at all whatsoever, none. And then this year's pretty good, but for the most part, most years, it's whoever is a good fielder at their position and has the best offensive numbers that win. I mean, Mark Teixeira a couple years ago, yeah, granted, he was a great first baseman, but he also led all first basemen in home runs, doubles, batting average, stuff like that. That's why he won. Adrian Beltre, great. I'm also a homer for Beltre, but Alex Gordon, he's a good left fielder, don't get me wrong, but there's got to be better ones. And the fact that David Murphy, and granted, I love David Murphy, but the fact that he was a finalist for the Gold Glove is in itself a sham. He may be the only finalist in the history of baseball to be pulled out for defensive purposes throughout the whole season. When he started a game, very rarely did he finish a game. He was always pulled in the 7th or 8th inning if the Rangers had the lead because he wasn't even the best left fielder they had on the team. So I just think it's a complete sham. They put offensive numbers into it when they shouldn't.
All right, next. Soon we'll have the rest of the awards. Everything comes out the week of November 14th. Plus, while you're there, check out our Silver Sluggers blog where me and Jeremy drafted the opposite of the Gold Glove, the hitters that deserve the best hitters in each league. Check that out at 3u3d.mlblogs.com. While we're there, we want to thank you. Over 7,000 views this month, our best month ever. So thank you to the fans for reading us, clicking everything. Hopefully that will be enough to get us into the top 10 for ML Blogs fan blogs for the month of October. While you're there, check it out, 3u3d.mlblogs. Again, while you're clicking the blog, just click over, open up another tab, go to the Twitter, follow us at 3u3d, then open up another tab. Like us on Facebook, 3up3down, all words, no numbers, over there. If you'd like to email us, it's 3u3dbaseball@gmail.com. And I hope everybody who's listening to this got through Hurricane Sandy okay up here in Connecticut. It was crazy. We got through it. I want to thank my Baseball Roundtable associates once again, Jeremy Dorn, Brian Boynton, Kurt Peter, Angelo Felicia, and, of course, the lovely Ashley Chavez, the 2012 Ultimate Fan Cave Dweller, for joining us on 3U3D this evening. And I'm sorry we ran out of time. We'll get to Eddie Mata the next time.